And next we'll hear from Barbara Smith.
Welcome all. It's nice to see some familiar faces from my former schools, Michigan, someone from Minnesota. It's nice to see that. I was asked to speak on coalition development and the efforts to address oral health of vulnerable older adults and persons with disabilities. And sort of my agenda is to give you some groundwork that the American Dental Association has done, has laid, give you a snapshot of a national coalition consensus conference on oral health of vulnerable older adults and people with disabilities, to highlight some of the recommendations that came out of that conference, and then to briefly discuss a webinar that we had launching those recommendations. First, some history. The ADA in 2004 put together an elder care task force and asked them to look at the issues around older adults, and they in 2006 submitted a report to the ADA that was really said, we need to shore up the oral health care system and the profession's readiness for meeting the oral health needs of vulnerable elders. And coming out of that report was a vulnerable elderly resolution, which had 26 different initiatives in education, advocacy, and research. Very ambitious resolution, and it established a staff person at the ADA to be point person on leading that forward. One of the outcomes of that was the creation of the National Elder Care Advisory Committee, what we call NECAC. Typically gets called NECAP, but it's not really a NECAP, it's a NECAC, which is a subcommittee of the Council on Access, Prevention, and Interprofessional Relations, which is the council that I work in. And for those who are less familiar with the ADA or wish to distance themselves from it, the Council on Access, Prevention, and Interprofessional Relations is really the kind of the public health arm of the ADA, and it's where fluoridation and a lot of other things sit, including this initiative. The National Elder Care Advisory Committee, and I want to, throughout my remarks, comment about those pieces where we can build coalition and how we can make that happen. And the composition of NECAC is that the majority of the individuals are dentists with a specialty background in geriatrics or special needs. But we also have someone serving on the committee who is a nurse, and she's in the long-term care industry, representing about 11,000 different long-term care facilities in the country. So we have her perspective coming on. We have a geriatrician active with the American Medical Directors Association, bringing that from medicine. And their contributions are incredibly valuable to us. And we build coalition by having them with us because they can tap into their networks and help us see that. NECAC is adopted for goal statements. Here are the statements. I'm only going to be concentrating at this point in time on the final one, which is to improve the elder oral health outcomes by building national coalitions and promoting legislative and regulatory reform. And our first effort in that was to hold the National Coalition Consensus Conference on Oral Health of Vulnerable Older Adults and Persons with Disabilities. We tried to get the longest name that we could. I think we did well. And I want to just sort of underscore ADA's commitment to this by sharing with you the quotation of Dr. Gist, who is our immediate past president. And he welcomed the participants and said, we need to speak with a loud, clear voice. We need to find new ways to lift the oral health needs of the elderly and disabled populations out of the shadows and insist that they be given the priorities that they deserve. And I think that the Coalition Consensus Conference really was an excellent first step in that effort. It was held in November of last year here in D.C., and its purpose was to establish a broad and sustainable coalition of stakeholders committed to improving oral health of vulnerable elders and persons with disabilities. And I want to tell you just a little bit about it. The conference brought together, again, coalition building doesn't mean that we get together people that all agree with what we're saying and talk about how bad things are and call it a day, but rather that we bring together people who have disparate ideas about how things can be solved and to listen as well as speak. So we brought together professional dental associations, individuals from general health organizations, consumer advocacy groups, and policymakers. We had a lovely contingent of individuals from our federal government, which was delightful to have them with us as well. And we had an interactive consensus building format. And some people in the room, there were a couple people, at least I know, that were at the conference. If you look closely, you might find yourself. But the important thing about that was that what we were trying to do, and I'll go ahead and explain a little bit. Following our welcoming remarks, we had five major topics that were covered. The speaker, who was an expert in dentistry, spoke. It was followed by a reactor, and those tended not to be dental people. They were people who were passionate perhaps about dentistry, but not dentists themselves. And one of our speakers, Robin Stone, was one of our reactors. Then that was followed, each one of those sections was followed by a group discussion, and there were 17 tables of 8 to 9 people who sat around after each of those discussions and threw out ideas, and we had a way of recording what they said and what they what their comments were. The conference topics, just briefly, expanding the population of older adults and persons with, that was basically demographics, the medical consideration, and our previous speaker spoke to the importance of that, oral health delivery systems, what's working, what's not working, professional education, how well are we preparing our profession to take care of older adults and those with disabilities, and then policy, what do we do with all of this, how do we move this forward. The second day, there was a core group of individuals, organizers and presenters, reactors, etc., who tried to assimilate literally hundreds of recommendations and to consolidate them into something that was usable and we could use going forward. And the conference proceedings have been created. And the remainder of my comments, I'm going to try to hit some of the highlights of the recommendations that came out of that, organized within sort of some categories of coalition building, legislation, education, and research. But understand that I'm only hitting the high notes here, and that there will be an opportunity for you to get more depth and resource that I will discuss at the end. In terms of recommendations on coalition building, improve public awareness of the relationship between oral neglect and systemic disease by developing a national campaign that we need to have a voice, we need to have this well known, demonstrating the cost of oral neglect, if the tooth that is not removed and results in tens of thousands of dollars of hospital care resulting from septicemia, those kinds of things, people need to know about that. And conversely, we need to show the potential savings for routine oral care. Now, it's tough within the government to get bills go because of the way our government accounting office doesn't mark bills according to what it saves. It only marks them according to what it costs. So we have a tougher case. Coalition building in terms of focusing on nursing center staff, helping them develop better programs to maintain dental oral hygiene, supporting the development of a model that utilizes the services of a dental director. Every nursing home in this country must have a medical director. There is nothing comparable in dentistry. So recommendations regarding legislation and advocacy. Strictly speaking, people said, we literally need to declare war on oral neglect amongst this very vulnerable population. We need to have a way and a voice to put that out. And there are a couple of things. First, awareness, and again, promoting that we need public needs to be aware, the profession needs to be aware, and our colleagues in other professions need to be aware. And then we need to campaign for system change. And that's not going to happen. That can't be dentistry alone, and that's where coalition and everything, coalition building is so very important to help train long-term care survey teams. That's one systems change that dentistry can provide a great deal of help with in both regulatory compliance and quality of care. Passed the Special Care Dentistry Act. The Special Care Dentistry Act was introduced into this Congress. It ensures that the intent of this law was to ensure that Medicaid-covered services for the aged, blind, and disabled adults were included, that they included comprehensive preventive and restorative dental care in outpatient and inpatient settings. Now, that particular group, aged, blind, and disabled, is a defined population within federal law. And it was for that reason that the Special Care Dentistry Act was put to bring that particular specially defined population in line with what is now available for children, that it's a defined service. Also, some of the things that interfere with or create challenges for dentists: reimbursement for behavior management, reimbursement for house calls, similar to what Nadira said about bringing dentistry to the people who need it. If that's not reimbursed, then how is a silver filling that you provide in a dental office is not the same as one where you bring equipment to have special assistance with, and so forth. So those are a couple things. In terms of financing, and I'm happy to report that some of these things are already in work, is to educate dentists and the nursing home industry about the use of incurred medical expense, IME, allowance for residents and long-term facilities. Now, this is an existing mechanism. It's used routinely across the country to pay for medically necessary services for Medicaid-eligible nursing home residents, but it isn't generally known or even considered as a resource to pay for dental care. So we've developed some documents. We've put them, had a campaign getting the information out, advised through ADA News, et cetera. So that's something that we've got in process. Recommendations on education, again, the triumvirate. We've got to educate the public, we've got our own profession to educate, and then our colleagues in other health professions and social services. In terms of the general public, again, you keep seeing this, a public awareness campaign, suggesting that we work with other colleagues. Oral Health America's got a Wisdom Tooth project. They're developing a portal, a web-based portal. And we need to provide information links about national advocacy and professional organizations. So we need to continue to enhance the curriculum content in our dental education, to provide incentives for programs to add second-year AEGD and GPR programs that are focused on these populations, expand continuing education of the dental workforce, and I'm happy to say that we just had a continuing education offering at the American Dental Association annual session in Las Vegas, and we were sold out. All right. And we need to support career and faculty development. And one of the things that is critical is the academy itself is not particularly knowledgeable about special care. And I think I'm talking to everybody that already knows that. and educate our other health professionals. Some things that other health sciences students in terms of competencies, collaborations, develop and disseminate clinical practice guidelines for managing oral diseases in long-term care settings. And again, I'm happy to tell you that the bones of that are in process. We're working with the American Medical Directors Association to develop a toolkit that medical directors can use We're in the nascent stages, but it's coming, to disseminate the oral overcoming obstacles to oral health, which is a University of Pacific training program that fosters system change within long-term care. And then finally, recommendations on research and the broad base that we need biomedical, behavioral, and economic research. It's pretty broad-based. Accelerate our science transfer through the dissemination of key oral health findings. And Nadira alluded to this, and I think that we need to continue to make that known. We need to accelerate the science transfer through the effective dissemination of key oral health findings and the economic impact of oral diseases. And there's a growing body that says, you know, we can prevent some downstream costs and influence quality of life. And lastly, there was this recurring theme, which I don't think you'll find at all unusual, is the research on costs. How in the dickens do we do this? We have to be able to finance it, and we have to be able to develop financially viable care models. And charity, if you will hear this at the ADA, charity is not a healthcare system. And that's what's going on. And as much as I applaud the many people who are doing those kinds of things, it's not a system that's viable long range. Finance, expand the evidence base to support paying for dental care to improve general health, and communicate the cost of neglect. And again, the coalition focusing on the cost of neglect. And Linda is going to cover the ASTDD basic screening survey that was recommended that all states adopt and use that. We had a webinar in September announcing the coalition. And this is the website that I want you to make a note of, ada.org/NCCC. And I'm going to use your pointer if I can figure out how to do this.
Little red button.
Little red button. There. On the left, under event programs and topics, you can go to the PowerPoints of each of the presentations and the presenters that had them. On the right-hand side, you can download the proceedings from the conference, which are now available, so you can download the whole thing. And then the recent webinar that we had, you can view in an archived fashion here. It's about 45 minutes to an hour in length. There were a number of presenters that that spoke at the conference that were together. They were all members of NECAC. So we had them all together and did the webinar. So I think the challenge is, how can we use these proceedings to drive change? It's all well and good to get together and come up with a lot of ideas, but we need to actualize it, make it work. And acknowledgement and disclaimer, I'm going to say this just simply because I think I need to. The NECAC, that standing committee, was instrumental in the conception, design, and execution of the conference. And the proceedings are a record of the conference and do not necessarily reflect ADA policy unless expressly stated. In addition, the proceedings do not reflect policy of any other organization whose representatives attended or participated. Now, that's not a way of saying, you know, what I've just disregard everything I've said because nobody backs it. But what I am saying is that it's key to coalition building that we be able to find our common ground and work together on the common ground and be willing to disagree as we need to. So with that, I will close.